Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fourth and final hour with you here on a Thursday. Nick Braden, D. Mace, and Marquise. Hal Gill will join us coming up at 9:30 this morning. The big finish coming up at 9:45. Also, a question for football fans coming up next segment. But right now, we need some clarity. We need some information. We need a Cliff Notes version of a timeline of how one man, one listener, one avid tweeter to this program decided he would get not one, but both butt cheeks tattooed. He's Man Card Matt on Twitter, and he's on Morning Drive. Hello, Matt.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Doing well. Matt, how many total?
Doing good until I saw your rump.
Yeah, how many total tattoos do you have?
About 140.
No. You're kidding.
No, he said tattoos, not hairs on your head.
No, that's about 12.
Oh.
So you have 100. Are you being serious? 140 tattoos?
Yes, sir. From the bottom of my feet all the way up to my chest, back, arms, and sleeves out. The only thing I don't have is anything on my hands and anything above my neck.
Wow.
So you're just covered.
Tatted up.
Although the pictures of the buttocks that you texted us on the Twitters there, doesn't look like it's all filled up. It looks like you got more room on the rump for some more tattoos.
Oh, yeah, but I was considerably larger several years ago. Wow. I'm now down to 200 pounds from 470.
Congratulations.
Ooh, congrats. Nice job, buddy. Man. Good work.
That's awesome.
So that canvas has kind of shrunk, but more in the water.
Well, you downsized your real estate. You know, you That's went good. From 4,000 square feet to 1,700. I like it.
Yeah.
Exactly, and I've got to decide, you know, what I want to do next, and you know, in light of our conversation and everything, I just might have to put the morning show 102.5 The Game on my butt cheek.
Well, then just make sure you call it Morning Drive. Then
it's gonna really, but it'll really suck for you when we get fired 6 months later.
Yeah. So how about my? Can you give my Twitter account? Can you just put my Twitter account on?
I'll do everybody's Twitter.
Okay. So, Matt, what was the thought process behind you getting? You say you have a bunch of them, but we're just talking about the buttocks tat. What was it? Because you said your mom and your wife went with you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. At the time, she was my girlfriend. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, are you still together?
Oh, no, that shit failed a long time ago.
Okay.
So what were you thinking?
Well, initially I was thinking money.
Uh-huh.
Many times I've gone into a bar where I've either been drunk or sober, and I tell somebody I have your name tattooed on my ass. Well, they're drunk as a monkey, and I can bet them any kind of money they want, and I walk out of that place with more money than I thought about.
That
yeah, you're right.
It's hard to argue with the logic there.
You got a point there.
I didn't think about a tattoo as a source of revenue, but that's pretty good.
Well, I've done it in the middle of Walmart. So seen somebody I hadn't seen in a while and tell them I got your name on my left butt cheek, and I'll drop trial and show them in Walmart. That don't matter to me.
Now, the question is on the 100% USDA Prime. Did that happen when you were 450 pounds, or did that happen when you were 200?
No, it happened when I was 470 pounds. That was the one that I went to get specifically with my mom. She wanted to go one day just to see what tattoos were like, and I figured I'd give her the complete shock factor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she stayed out in a little waiting area while the artist had got my butt cheeks all ready to go and had the stencil all on it. And then when she came in and closed the door behind it, my girlfriend at the time stood at the door, and she got to watch this artist tattoo my butt cheeks.
Now, you talk about getting the actual cheek ready to go. Did you clean it up yourself by shaving it, like, the day in advance, or did the tattoo person do that for you?
Oh, no, the tattoo guy did it.
That was nice of him.
So,
yeah.
This is great.
I immediately have more respect for tattoo artists.
I do, too. Well, hey, Matt, we do appreciate you checking in, and seriously, congratulations on the weight loss, buddy.
Yes,
I hope you feel well.
Huge. Yeah. That's great.
And just so you know, I've got tattoos in other parts. I'll send those in private message to you if you like.
I think he's going to slide them into your DMs, Mace. Actually, your initial is DM. He's going to DM.
No! That's
See, you wanted you wanted to be a great wide receiver.
You're the handsome famous one. Yeah.
No, I don't want that. Yeah. Don't want it. Don't want it.
I think Matt had you on his fantasy team back in the day.
Let's think about where and what this could be.
Don't want it.
Let's talk about it.
Don't want it.
Talk about your tattoos.
Can't coach it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Oh, my goodness.
Hey,
that phone call was epic.
Hey, Derek, I've got tattoos in other places, and I'll show them to you in your private messages.
Do not, and I repeat me, do not DM me, okay?
Now, Matt is truly a guy that gets the humor of this show.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Gosh, man.
Your mom, the full shock factor? I wanted to give her the full shock factor, so she walked in.
I guess she was shocked.
I mean, good night. 140 times?
That's,
to go in and sit for a tattoo?
Some people are just addicted to tattoos.
Oh, I get it, man. Yeah. Trust me, I understand.
He said nothing above the neck and nothing on the hand, so I'm guessing a job where you got to keep the skin covered and you can't have the ink.
Yeah, probably
he sent a whole full shot of himself like standing in front of a mirror, and he doesn't look like he's got any tattoos at all.
How about that?
It's all covered up.
Yeah, because he's got on pants and a shirt. So,
all right.
You never know. This is why you listen to the show.
That is correct.
No idea what's going to happen.
So one thing I do want to get into on the other side that we can kick around is, you know, football this week is a little slow. Titans on a bye. The Vols on a bye. You know, Vandy is what they are. How are you going to consume your football weekend? Are you going to watch other teams? Are you going to red zone it on a Sunday? Is this like a wife weekend where you have to, give the lady in your life your full attention for 48 hours? I'm curious to see. We'll go around the room. I want to see what consumption level of football we will have. And also, take some calls. 737-1025. Back after this, Hal Gill at the bottom of the hour. ESPN, 102.5 a game. Silly underdog picks coming up today at 12 o'clock on Darren Donick and Chase. You can always play Silly Underdogs, where the weekly winner will get a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. That is on Monday, December the 30th, Nissan Stadium here in Nashville. Hit up thegamenashville.com or play on the ESPN Game Nashville mobile app today. Silly Underdog Picks is sponsored by the Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So a football weekend without the Titans, without the Vols. I'm curious, and I will get some calls on this, 615-737-1025. How are you going to consume a football weekend where the Vols and Titans do not play? Is this like a weekend as a fan that you check out, you give in to the wife and do all the honey-do list type stuff? Do you listen and watch, you know, the red zone? Do you pick one game? How do you handle a bye weekend? Because I don't recall the Titans and the Vols having a bye the same time last year.
It's hard to ask me that, anybody in the media, because we have to work every weekend. So, Georgia, Auburn, Oklahoma, Baylor, Minnesota, Iowa, I'm doing ESPN Radio Saturday night like I do every single Saturday night. So I'm still, I'm doing it just like I do every other weekend, so it's hard. Now, when the Packers are off or when the Titans are off, I definitely have, we will plan some sort of Sunday thing because I don't have to watch a Titans game, right? So we will plan to go do something with the kids is what we do, and that's sort of a ritual every year since I started covering the Titans 3 years ago.
You know what's funny, too, is I've told you guys on this show many times for two football seasons, when Labor Day comes, I look my wife dead in the eyes and I say, honey, I'll see you in February. But I do give her the one weekend with the bye. So this weekend, because Alabama's got an 11 a.m. kick against Mississippi State, kind of irrelevant.
Who cares,
No Vols game, no Titans game.
Georgia-Auburn? Dude, come on.
If I'm home, I'm definitely going to watch. But if there's a plan that's being made, I have to give in for that week.
Okay.
On Sunday, I would love to just sit down and red zone it for 7 straight hours. Probably can't pull it off.
No, if she comes to me for Saturday and goes, hey, I'm going to take the kids down to my parents' house, I'm going to say, good, you take those kids and you get the heck out of here. I'm watching football all day. Now it's because I've got to work Saturday night, but Sunday I got no excuses. Sunday let's get something done with the family. It's funny you mentioned that you say that with the wife at the beginning of the season. I joked with my wife, who was then obviously my girlfriend. We met in on New Year's Eve, and we were still together. She still hadn't run me out of town yet by the start of the football season, and I told her, no one's ever made it past week 9 because it's just a hard – football seasons are hard for people in the media. Nobody wants to hear that's listening. But I always joked with her. I said, no one's ever made it past week 9, and she gave me – week 10 rolled around in the college football season, and she gave me a gift card for like a go get a massage or something. And – she was like, hey, congratulations, we made it to week 10. I'm still here. You're still here. Congratulations. And lo and behold, now we got two kids and been together for 7 years. So
But, this is another one of those weekends where you look at, I got this, the college schedule up. It's a really good weekend of college football. And then on Sunday in the NFL, you're going to get Lamar Jackson against Deshaun Watson. This is another
really good
combined weekend.
Yeah, but that's more so, that game's later in the day, right?
I think that's a 12 o'clock kick.
Is that a 12 o'clock
kick? I think so. Because the Eagles-Patriots are the 3:30 national game.
Man, that's the game the NFL should have flexed out of. They should have made that game a little bit later. It should have been a Sunday night game, honestly. I don't know. I mean,
Sunday night game is the Bears-Rams.
Oh, hell yeah. They should have flexed that out. When it comes to sports and whether you do family stuff or not, I don't know. It's always tricky. Because even if your team's not playing, you still want to kind of sit down and watch sports because those are the two biggest days for football, whether it be college or the NFL.
Think about the fantasy aspect, the gambling aspect. Your team might not be playing, but you could be in a daily fantasy league. You could be in a season-long fantasy league where you're going to want to sit back and not stress your own team, but actually worry and sweat out your own fantasy team.
But what it does, you're right, but what it does lend you to is not having to be in front of the television watching it. You can, you know, check the scores on your cell phone or watch a video on your cell phone or watch, you know, stream it on your cell phone and whatnot and still be out doing things, but just checking in every so often to see what the scores is, see a highlight or something like that. So it does give you the leeway to do that when you're, say, for us, the Titans or the Vols are not playing.
You see the scene in the movie where like all the guys are at the wedding and they can't. But we've got to watch the game. Like it feels like it's a sitcom or a movie or a TV show thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like in real life, I've never been to a wedding where anyone was like, "Yeah, don't go watch that."
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like not during the ceremony, not in the in the church service, but like I think today people understand that if you're getting married, you know, didn't Robbie Stanley just got married during the LSU-Bama game? Like, I would assume that people at the reception were watching the game. Like, if I was getting married, I would assume, and there's a reason we got married before the football season, obviously, but we got married with enough time to have a honeymoon and then come back before the football season started. But I just kind of, I don't think people get offended by that stuff anymore. It used to be like a thing that you'd see in a movie and like, oh my God, these three guys are trying to find a TV. And now that you can, watch everything on your phone, it's like, some guy goes onto the porch to smoke a cigarette, isn't that the same thing as going into the porch to watch a few minutes of a football game? Like, what's the difference?
I'm going to tell you, this is because this past weekend we were on a school visit for DJ at Baylor, but I had told Marcy, my ex, and I told DJ, I said, this is the, and they made fun of me, both of them. I said, this is the game of the century. I'm watching the LSU and Baylor game.
We have not found out how you watch this yet.
I am watching the LSU Baylor game. Bama game. We're going to be finished with this tour by the time the game starts at 2:30. We're going to be finished.
Did it work?
I'm watching the game. And they made fun of me through the, you know, no, we got to just tour it. Yada, yada. So.
Did you get to sit down at 2:30?
No, I didn't get to sit down. But because right after the tour, we went to go tour the stadium, and then we went to Chip and Joanna's Magnolia Market, which is wonderful. I love it. Love it.
Anything to be fixed there?
Nothing to be fixed there.
It's all perfect.
But
it's already been fixed.
Here's the thing is that I talked about it so much. Marshall's like, okay, I'm just going to stream it for you. I put it on my phone, and we'll set it down, and I can hear it through the car. But then once I get to Magnolia Market, I can watch it. So I'm watching it walking. And I got my earbuds in, and I'm like, yes! Oh, yes!
Suck it, Nick.
And DJ's like, Dad,
Joe Burrow, yes!
You're loud. I'm like, hush. So she did make it so I could watch the game of the century. And then, you know, we kind of finished that. We were at the Magnolia Market for about an hour. And then we got back to the hotel, and she's like, all right,
I'm going to let you go watch
the game. You know, DJ could take a nap, and then we go get some meat. So I got a chance to watch the game.
Okay. So the second half, at least?
I saw somebody. I was in and out the first half because of the streaming.
Right.
But then I got to watch the second half.
So this can be done. I am confused here about something.
It can be done.
So you we're done with your obligations to DJ as far as the campus visit goes. Mm-hmm. Because when you're there, you need to be present.
Exactly.
You need to be paying attention. You need to be like, all right, asking smart questions about the academics and this and that. Like, you got to campus life and living, and I get that's all really important stuff to make mm-hmm. sure you're involved in and sort of really in tune with. And you did a great job of that, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
But that ended before the LSU-Bama game started, right?
It ended, yeah. But the school stuff ended.
Right. Okay. Hang on.
Yeah. But I had to go to the stadium because DJ wanted to.
So when did
they
that,
were giving tours to okay. the stadium. So
also totally fair. Mm-hmm. When did that end?
That ended a little bit after 2:30.
Okay. So right around 2:30.
Yeah.
So you were done with familial obligations mm-hmm. to your son as being a present and mm-hmm. good and quality father.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you decided to go to an HGTV
because everybody wanted to go.
Instead of going to watch Marcy, the LSU-Bama game.
Marcy wanted to go because she loves Chips and Joanna.
So why didn't you just let them go?
Because I am the driver. Oh. When we do college visits,
I don't believe you.
I am the driver.
I think you looked at your life on Saturday and you said, I can watch LSU Alabama or I can go to Chip and Joanna Gaines' Sweet Magnolia Market because they have a cool TV show on HGTV.
Hey, it could have been worse. You could have went to Chippendales. I mean, so let's not kill the guy for it. I mean, come on.
And you chose in that moment to go to the Magnolia Market instead of watching LSU.
But I watched LSU and Alabama while at the Magnolia Market.
Sounds awful.
Because I had the phone streaming. I had my earbuds in. I had a bag. And I was putting candles inside the bag.
Oh, you're buying candles.
Yes. Oh, you damn right I bought candles. I was achieving everything at one time.
Okay. Were the Property Brothers there too?
No, they weren't there.
What about Love It or List It?
They weren't there. They weren't there either.
I know too much about Love It.
It was like I was in.
Now, how much did you spend on said candles? Because I know you bought multiple candles.
What's the Chip and Joanna markup?
And you don't spend. I know you're a candle guy.
Yeah, I spent.
You probably dropped $300.
About $250.
I knew
on
it.
Just candles?
Just candles.
Just think about that, people.
And then you had to fly them back in your suitcase?
Because when I got to the airport, they weren't in my suitcase. They was in the bag.
Carry-on
bag. But it was just in a paper, you know, they gave me a paper bag, whatnot. But I told them, and the guy was like, he told Marcy at Dallas Airport, he said, it's no problem because we get a bunch of people
coming from that place.
Yeah, back from that place with candles, and they go through.
You're such a tourist.
What you call it? I had to go, man. I'm telling you.
Really? I had to go.
I'm there, I had to go and see the silos.
I had to see Magnolia Market. You're
I had to do it. I didn't buy any T-shirts, though. Didn't buy any T-shirts. I was close.
What? So Chip and Joanna are great at renovating homes. Why are they candle experts?
Why are you spending $250 on candles? No, but they had other things in the store. They had other things in the store. But
it's called horizontal diversification.
Yes, it's their candles. They got me. Absolutely. I will admit it. And if I lived there, I would have bought more. And I'm going to order more candles now from them.
What makes their candles so good?
I don't know because it's Chip and Joanna.
See, that's a sucker move.
They got me. They got me.
You should start selling Derek Mason candles here in Nashville. Charge $180 a candle.
Yeah, but you know what? Their candles were not as expensive as I thought they were going to be. There's a place here in Nashville where their candles are like start at $100.
Oh, candles are insane. Sometimes.
The candles at the Magnolia Market, even the big ones, I think they were like $50-something. And if you get them at the place where I go sometimes, they would be like $200.
$25 is my limit on a candle.
I love candles, man.
Because you can get a really good candle that'll last a long time for $25.
But what I found out with candles, the cheap candles, especially if you get the one or two wick candles, the cheap ones, because I have a few, they don't burn.
Oh, yeah. They're not.
They don't burn, and the wax doesn't melt evenly. Everything melts in the middle and it goes down. So you got all of this stuff on the rim.
Yeah, you can't have all the wax on the rim.
Exactly. That's good candles, it all burns evenly.
Imagine having your day go to hell because the wax didn't burn evenly. Yeah.
That's like the worst thing.
I hate that too.
Is that the worst part of your life every day?
Yes.
God, the candle isn't burning right.
Evenly.
You got a tough life, dude.
D-Mace's buddy calls him, hey, how you doing today, bud? I had a pretty good day, you know, good show, a good workout. But this wax over here, it's like, you know, the burn differential rate is a little off.
It needs a little balancing.
The burns per play.
Yeah, we need to balance this burn thing. I'm telling you, I like two candles. One or two candles a day in my house. It might be the same candles because they don't burn. But candles is a must in my house.
It's riveting. Yeah.
It's a must. If you walk in, you always see two candles burning.
Sucker.
I love it.
I love that you admit it, too, that you're self-aware. You're like, oh, they got me.
They got me. I love you, Chip and Joanna. I love you.
Jesus. I hate Shiplap so much.
I don't like Shiplap, but I love Chip and Joanna. Chip and Joanna, I love y'all. I love y'all.
I've had my fill of Chip in my life. Chip Kelly was enough.
Chippendales.
I've never been there. Seen the Patrick Swayze skit.
Chocolate chips?
Chris Farley. Yeah, I'm not a big chocolate chip guy.
Chips, what? The movies?
Yeah, no.
Not a chocolate chip guy.
Blue chips?
No, dude, chips.
Dude, have you seen the new
chips? The movies.
No, I've never seen chips.
The Cops.
The new chips.
Oh, that's so
funny. It's up your alley,
dude. Oh, you would love
it.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting.
Oh, you would love it.
The one guy has to.
You should see Marquise's face right now. Marquise is like, am I producing a sports talk show? What are we doing?
It's Dax Shepard and who's the other guy in the new one? But the other guy is so funny. Nick, you would love it. He has a disorder, I think.
Yes, he does.
Where he has to do a particular thing in public at all times.
Yes.
And you will laugh your head off.
All right, Big Finish coming up in 20 minutes. Hal Gill coming up next. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nick Braden, D-Maze Marquise with you. The Big Finish coming up at 9:45 this morning. Right now, we welcome in our buddy Hal Gill. He is brought to you by Puckett's, and he's here to talk all things Nashville Predators. Skillsy, good morning. How you doing, pal?
Very good. Nice to be back home. That was a long road trip.
It certainly was. Three losses in a row, five of the last six. We knew this team was due for a little bit of a downturn considering where they started the season. Is there any concerns for you right now, maybe on the defensive end of things? Like, what are you seeing right now that needs to be cleaned up?
Consistency is the biggest thing. They need to figure out how to play a consistent game, a good defensive structured game, and then generate some offense out of that. And that's where they've been running into trouble is putting it all together. It's not easy. I think you look around the NHL, there's a lot of teams going through it and trying to battle to be consistent, but it certainly is a problem right now. They either get a ton of scoring or they give up too many goals, and they can't find that happy medium.
So they've had a couple of days of practice. I think they only had one day of practice in like the last, you know, the entire trip out west. What does a couple of days of practice do, you know, as a player, when you have a chance in the middle of a long season to sort of find some sort of off time / practice, what does that do for your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing for, you know, you look at the way the season goes, especially nowadays, I think that you really need to get your rest. And so you can go and practice and do all those things, but if you're exhausted and you're dying, then it doesn't mean much if you can't play the game. So I think with a couple of days off, it allows you to go and it allows you to go really focus on the systems, which I think is probably the best thing for him right now is to work on systems, to work on, end zone coverage, maybe a little bit of the neutral zone, work on some penalty kills, some power play, all the little details without worrying about killing yourself, getting a sweat, and just going through things.
Is this something that can be in, and we're talking about their defense, is this something that will end up sort of like the power play, or can't end up like the power play was last year, where, you know, no matter what live you did, it just didn't, you know, get going? Or is it just because we had live on earlier today, or is it just, you know, paying attention to detail, making sure you're doing the assignments the way they're taught, technique? Is it more so that, or is this going to be just a process where it might take the majority of the season to get this defense back to where it was?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. Sometimes it's an easy fix. Other times it's not so easy. I think that they have the personnel to do it. So I think it comes down to just relying on a system, trusting in your teammates, and really being accountable for what you're doing. I think you know, the Preds play a lot of man-to-man defense, which is great because you have guys like Roman Josi that are such great skaters, Ryan Ellis and Matias. You know, you go through the lineup, they're great skaters, but there's a lot of good players out there. And once they get buzzing, and it happened in Vancouver, a couple shifts where they were just chasing the whole shift, and you could see it, that the cycle started to come around, and you could see that they weren't getting the stops on the boards. And in order to stop these players, you got to kill their momentum from the up and down and side to side, all the cycling that they're doing. You have to get a stop on them. And sometimes you have to adjust and maybe push down the wall, have a winger push down and get a stop that way, or have a, you know, switch to more of a zone or a hybrid. There's different things you can do, but it really is a total buy-in from everyone. Because if you have one guy that's not doing it, then it doesn't mean anything. You get abused. The players are too good now. So, you know, there's adjustments that they can make, and they just have to do it. I think they did a good job, actually, in Vancouver after a few shifts where they got hemmed in. They did make some adjustments, and I think that was in large part due to the way that Bonino's line with Smith and Grimaldi were able to push back and change the momentum of a game by spending some offensive zone time. So little things like that they can adjust to and make their defensive zone better.
Skills, the injury-wise this year, this team is far more healthier than they were last year. This team was really ravaged by the injury bug last year. And you look in this division, St. Louis has lost Tarasenko for 5 months. They don't seem like they're missing a beat. Colorado's been without Rantanen and Grubauer. They've been on the shelf for a little bit. When you look at the standings, and I know we're only about 22% of the way through the season, any concern with Colorado and St. Louis playing as well as they have been with some of their star power missing?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I think if you look at Colorado and the way they played, that was an embarrassing game for the Preds, but really a statement game for those guys. They had a lot of injuries. You take out two-thirds of your top line, and not just their top line, but probably the best line in the game with Rantanen and Landeskog. You take those guys out, and you just have MacKinnon, and to be able to put up the numbers they did against the Preds and be as effective as they were, I think it says a lot about that fear of embarrassment. You know, like you go out there and your Preds are coming in, and the Preds are a good team and they can steamroll you, and they did it to Detroit, and you think, okay, we got to be ready to play. And they played a tight game. They locked it down. They had good defensive performance, and they got some good bounces and took advantage of it. So any team can come out and put a win together at any time. It's just trying to sustain that over, you know, how long are you going to have to play without guys in your lineup? And missing a guy like Tarasenko is a long time to go through. So obviously you want to stay as healthy as you can. And, you know, everyone's going to be banged up. It's just the big injuries you want to try to avoid. And, you know, you miss Forsberg for a few games and that hurt, but he's back and it wasn't a huge injury. So injuries are going to happen. Hopefully they're not big ones. And the Preds, I think, have been pretty fortunate overall.
Yeah, knock on wood on that department for sure. Hal Gill joining us here. The question I have is, you know, Lavi likes to move the lines around a lot, and certainly he knows he can go to Jofa at the end of the year if he needs to and has a dependable group there. And generally, it's always really interesting to see what he comes up with. When you watch Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith, where do they look at their best, in your opinion?
Well, they look best when they're on the forecheck. And, you know, I think for most teams, and I think the Preds would be one of those teams, I think they play the best when their forecheck is going. And put it in your head where you have Arvidsson crashing in on a forecheck. You have Craig Smith tracking down the puck, Grimaldi tracking down pucks. I think Granlund is one of those guys that can be effective driving the net. And if the play isn't there, they're not making the stop-up play. They're not doing that. I think there's guys like Duchesne, Johansson. Those guys can stop up and make plays behind without driving the net. But for a lot of those guys on the team, I think they're effective when they drive the net, and if they can't get it, they put it in behind the D, and then they work. And a lot of their scoring chances have come from working below the goal line. So I think that's where both of those guys, Granlund and Smith, are so effective. But it's a commitment to the, you know, the team has to make a commitment to get the puck into those areas to let those guys be successful.
Skillsy, always a pleasure. We appreciate the insight, and thanks for popping on. We'll talk to you again next week.
Good to be with you guys. Nice to be back home, and hopefully you'll get some wins coming here on this homestand.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Hal.
Yeah, thanks.
You got it. Hal Gill brought to you by Puckett's. Right now, your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see Western Kentucky men's hoops as they take on Louisville in the 2019 Music City Showdown at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November the 29th. All you have to do right now is be caller 5-615-737-1025. The Big Finish coming up next.
Yeah, it is.
Big Show.
Big Show.
And now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
Time for the Big Finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And Braden Gall, the Big Finish is brought to you by
the Nashville Soccer Club. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com. NashvilleSC.com.
All right, we will tell you what is on tap for tonight in just a moment. But first, the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. Welcome into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here on a Thursday edition of the show. Here's where I'm offended. So AEW, which is like the new challenging wrestling company to WWE and Vince McMahon. So Marquise, Chase, and obviously the Constable's buddy Ricky go to
his heterosexual life partner.
That is correct. Ricky. And I am getting tweets with pictures from not only that trio, but other people at other stations and other media outlets in this city saying that I look exactly like the referee for AEW.
So referees, because there was
okay,
a
so
lot
there's
of
multiple.
Them. Yeah, there was a lot.
And
of
he
them.
Looked like more than one?
Yes.
So I am offended as a white man who shaves his head with a beard. Just because I have that look does not mean I am every single guy in this town. I'm offended, Derek. I'm going to go to Twitter. I'm going to tweet my displeasure and ask for people to lose their jobs.
Now you know how it feels to be a black man. Bald-headed white dudes with beards don't all look alike.
I mean, at some point in this
like
world,
all black people
exactly,
don't look
absolutely.
Well, you know, I've said so many times on this show, what's a white man got to do to catch a little break? Can anybody justify betting on Freddie Kitchens and the Cleveland Browns twice in a 5-day window and not losing their mind?
Okay, here's
like I don't want to do it to myself.
Here's the only grace.
Talk me out of it.
So here's the only great saving grace. I don't know if I can talk you out of it other than it's Freddie Kitchens and the Browns.
I'd rather you use your momentum on college football.
Yeah, use it going into
that's
the
where
weekend.
You're good. That's yes. Where your expertise is. NFL, you've been struggling.
Right. Like your head, you shine on Saturdays.
Ooh, I like that one.
I'm offended by that.
No, it's meant to be
like
a compliment.
Head,
I am not an AEW referee.
You're Mr. Clean.
Like your head.
You need a couple earrings. You need a couple big old earrings, Nick. Gold earrings. Big gold circle earrings so he looks like Mr. Clean.
We get more drama as the story continues to unfold with Colin Kaepernick and this saga. Several executives with teams have reached out as a courtesy to Colin Kaepernick's representatives, saying they couldn't attend Saturday's workout and were confused by the purpose of the NFL scheduling this workout, which makes me think that the league and the teams aren't even on the same page with the motive behind it.
The NFL had no intention on ever doing anything else about Colin Kaepernick, ever. This thing was a mute. Okay,
it was mute. It was done.
Yeah, it was mute. I don't care how many times people tweet about it or do anything else. The NFL was done with it. We're doing this merger with Jay-Z, Roc Nation, you know. It's going to come up. The whole Colin Kaepernick thing is going to come up. So we got to find a way to kind of weave it into it, because it's really about music. But we got to weave this social justice thing into it. Oh, so we're throwing Colin Kaepernick's name. We're starting to let his name fester in everything else.
The league is sort of actually trending towards his style of play finally. That's something we haven't talked about. Like Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. The idea that his skill set is now more popular in the NFL, whereas in 2013 or 14 or whatever, it wasn't as prolific. The college game has infiltrated the NFL more, and so his skill set maybe is more viable. Now, how much of his skill set does he have left? Like, who knows how good he is? That's the main issue in all of this, is that none of us, no matter what side of the issue you're on, have no idea if he can play football anymore.
Right now, we welcome in our buddy Joe Rexrode from The Athletic.
I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel's evaluation. I think I asked him after last year. He's like, 1-9, lost 7. That's the evaluation. You know, I mean, obviously, he had a run there where he had a decision. I mean, I think three of them especially where, you know, I'll definitely never agree with him. But he had a run there where we were questioning him on a lot of these decisions, and I think some of them didn't make sense. Look, you can't say he isn't working. You can't say, you know, these guys aren't playing hard, obviously, after this last win. And, I mean, the move to Tannehill, I guess you could make the case you could have done it earlier, but I think some coaches may not have done it when he did it, considering everything around that. And, obviously, that has worked out. So you have to also give him credit for that.
Right now, time for Coffee with the Coach as we welcome in your head coach of the Nashville Predators, Peter Laviolette.
There's no excuse for the Colorado game. That's unacceptable by all standards and by all accounts. We have to be better than that, especially against a division opponent when we know that at the end of the day, that's who we could be, you know, sizing up and facing down for the division or in a playoff round. And again, we're not going to make any excuses for a tough game like Colorado. It's just unacceptable and we need to be better. But there's a lot of positives if you look at the shutouts and the one-goal games and the two-goal games, a lot of good things that we did defensively where I do feel like we're getting better.
I know you're a very busy man, but I just wanted to inform you, I did go on air and say, because I am in love with the production on the power play from Dan Lambert, that I will end up getting a tattoo of Dan Lambert on my body if you guys finish in the top 5 this year in the power play. So I just wanted to share that enlightening information with you and wish you continued success on the power play at the expense of my own body.
I think you guys are ranked 10th now, I believe, 10th or 11th. So you're moving up. You're moving up.
Definitely do some good. You talk about motivation. I'm always up for embarrassing myself a little bit. Clearly, you will be too. If you're going to put a picture of Dan Lambert on your right buttock, like I'm really excited about that. So talk about motivation and challenge. It's game one for that one.
Right butt cheek. He might be right about that.
And where would you put a tattoo of Dan Lambert's face if you had to do
it? Okay, this is what I want to know, though. If you're going to put it on the... Maybe I shouldn't say it.
No, go, man.
Okay, if you're going to put it on the right butt cheek, is that the butt cheek that you get... What?
Well, no. My parents have passed away. They no longer spank me for acting up.
Not your parents.
What I do in my private life is not arable.
What are you talking about? Go to
be glad. Yeah, be glad you hear about my gambling and my Tito stories. You don't need to hear about the other story. Yeah, if I don't do the dishes before 5 o'clock, yes, I get.
Let me slap Dan Lambert in the face.
And Tito, just so you know, I've got tattoos in other parts. I'll send those in private message to you if you like.
I think he's going to slide him into your DMs, Mace. Actually, your initial is DM. He's going to DM DM. There you have it. Morning Drive Daily Rewind. Have you checked your DMs?
I did, but there was nothing in there, so I don't know whether he's
Twitter DMs, not Instagram.
Yeah, I did check. At first, I checked Twitter because that's where
he said he sent you something, but that it wasn't bad.
So. Why don't you check your DMs right now live, and we'll get an instant reaction from Derek Mason.
I am. I'm about to check my DMs now. I don't think there's anything in there.
Man, we learned a lot about Mancard Matt.
Yeah, there's nothing in there. See? Look. No. That's my DM right there.
Do you have it blocked?
There's nothing in there.
If you have it turned off.
There's nothing in there.
I would like to know.
My DM is turned on because I even get like messages from people that I don't follow, but they go into like that other category. And
you can kind of hit it.
So I
get a few
got
Russian
anything.
Bots in there too.
Yeah, I hadn't
always,
got anything.
Always good for a few Russian bots. Just say, hey. And you're like, yeah, I'm not going to respond to that one.
So maybe he sent it to the wrong...
Maybe he DM'd Vanderbilt's head coach, Derek Mason.
Oh, that'd be bad. Oh, that'd have been bad.
Quickly, a couple of things in football tonight before we get out of here. College, you've got North Carolina and Pitt, Buffalo and Kent State. But in the NFL, you got the Steelers and the Browns. And I've decided I will stay away from the game tonight.
Good.
Discretion is the better part of valor. I don't think my heart can handle betting on Freddie Kitchens twice in a 5-day window.
I wouldn't trust Freddie Kitchens twice.
lean towards your level of expertise. Walk away a winner.
Yeah, because you got the college, you know, college weekend coming up. You can put all of that toward that. Put all that energy towards your college, okay? Because you seem to be doing well.
I'm double-checking this right now, but I want to say maybe it was Trey Wingo who tweeted this out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
This is another reason why you should not bet on the Cleveland Browns today. The last six Browns coaches that have been fired after Steelers games. Hugh Jackson, Mike Pettine, Rob Chudzinski, Pat Shurmur, Eric Mangini, Romeo Crennel. All fired after a Steelers game.
Oh, man. Not a good week for Cleveland.
So,
and that's all within the last 20 years, too. Probably.
I would not gamble on the Browns coach who's under fire playing the Steelers.
Okay.
That feels like a bad situation.
Yeah.
All right, I would tend to agree. If you missed any of the show, of course, you can now get our on-demand audio on Spotify as well as iTunes. So just search Morning Drive on Spotify or whatever platform of podcast you prefer. And, of course, you can always get the audio at thegamenashville.com. So stay tuned. Darren, Donick, and Chase are coming up next. We also have silly underdogs today, and I pick first. So D-Mace, I'm just gonna reveal my pick right now.
Ooh, I want to know
because nobody can swipe it.
Yeah,
and I'm still 22 points back of Chris Sanders.
Who are you
going? You going Baylor?
That is correct.
I knew it.
Getting 10 or 10 and a half?
About 10, Oklahoma, 10 and a half.
They play Oklahoma, right?
Yep.
I'm taking.
I wouldn't reveal your pick because you got a couple of other guys in between me and
no,
you.
No, it's.
Are you right behind me?
Yeah, I think I'm right behind you because last week it was Darren first, right?
Yep.
So, yes,
it doesn't matter.
I'm right behind you.
It doesn't matter what spot Darren picks in.
Yeah,
gonna
it
suck.
Doesn't matter. He's going to lose anyway.
What's the Texas Iowa State game? That's the one I would take if I was you, Darren.
Six and a half.
Is it Iowa State or is it Texas?
Oh, Iowa State's favorite.
I would take Texas.
Yeah.
Texas in the points. That's a great shot to pick up six and a half points there.
All right. So we will do that coming up at 12 o'clock, and that'll take you probably through 12:35, 12:40 or so because, you know, Darren likes to, you know, extend the segment, you know, likes to work it in and take his time.
Absolutely.
It's good work by D-Mac. We'll just sit on hold and let our minutes go by the wayside. I eat my sandwich.
Nobody counts minutes anymore.
You know, I sit there, I eat a turkey sandwich. I put my phone on mute. I hit the speaker to make sure I can hear everything. Yeah, I drink a Red Bull and I wait for my chance to make my
do some
work. You might as well do some work while you're waiting.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
you
it's like calling Verizon and complaining about customer service. You wait on hold for 35 minutes.
Yeah, he's basically the cable company.
Yeah.
They didn't invite me. They were scared.
Skirt.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your Thursday. We will talk to you tomorrow. Take care, Twitter world.
Bailey DJ Nashville, stay warm and I love you.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.